Happy Sabbath again. You all right? It is a lovely Sabbath morning, and we are just so thankful to be here in the presence of the Lord. A teacher put a question to little John in his arithmetic class. John, suppose your mother made a peach pie and there were 10 of you at the table, your mother, your father, and the 8 children. How much of the pie would you get? A ninth, ma'am, was the prompt reply. No, John, now pay attention, said the teacher. There are 10 of you. 10, remember? Don't you know your fractions? Yes, ma'am, was the swift answer of little John. I know my fractions, but I also know my mama. She wouldn't eat any of the pie. Mother's unselfishness makes an impression on their little ones. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here with us this morning, and we thank you for mothers. We thank you for giving us mothers. We thank you for their patience, and we thank you for their love, and we thank you now that you are here, and we thank you that you will lead, guide, and direct us. And I ask very specially for myself that you will be my mouth, Lord, and be my tongue, so that the things I speak are the things that you would have spoken, and that there will be a blessing for someone in this place today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Just a little bit of information, if you will, about Mother's Day, because this is Mother's Day weekend. A special day for celebration of mothers can be traced back to the times of ancient Greece, when tribute was made to Rhea, the mother of many of the Greek gods. Early Christians also paid tribute to Mary, the mother of God, during Lent. In fact, this tribute evolved into Mothering Sunday that they celebrate in England. Mothering Sunday is a celebration of all mothers and is observed on the fourth Sunday of Lent, whenever that is. I don't know how they count it. Well, in 1872, in America, Julia Ward Howe, the author of The Battle Hymn of the Republic, suggested the idea of Mother's Day. But as most of us know, it was Anna Jarvis of Philadelphia who created Mother's Day in 1905. She campaigned for Mother's Day as a tribute to her mother, who had tried to establish Mother's Friendship Day to help heal the scars of the Civil War in America. It was in 1910 that West Virginia became the first state to adopt a formal holiday to recognize mothers. A year later, most of the other states in the nation also had that observance. But it was in 1914 that President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed Mother's Day as a national holiday to be celebrated on the second Sunday in May. Today, Mother's Day is celebrated in many countries throughout the world, although the celebrations do not come on the same day in every country. Mother's Day should be every day. I think most of us would agree. Mothers nurture us, they teach us, they protect us, and make us feel special. Mothers are the people in our lives who are the most responsible for the way that we mature. And I'm sure that if we took the time to go around this room this morning and ask each of you who is the person who is most influential in your life or has been, you would say it was your mother, and you could give those reasons why. We know that this Mother's Day weekend, that there are going to be many celebrations. There are going to be celebrations in various ways. There'll be dining out. And if you're like we are, the last time that we tried to go out on a Mother's Day Sunday, it was a futile effort. We went to all of the restaurants that had buffets. And finally, the lines were so long, we ended up going to Pizza Hut to have Mother's Day dinner. So we have decided from that point on to just make sure that we have some food at home that we can eat so that we are not left out on Mother's Day. But it is a very special day, Mother's Day is. But I want to do a little different emphasis today. I want to look at Jesus and then look at mothers and women in general. Ellen White says of Jesus that he was the embodiment of refinement. Usually when we think of refinement, we think of women being refined. But Jesus was the embodiment of refinement. She says, in essence, that Christ desires his children to also be refined and full of grace as he is. When we profess to be Christians, then we become a spectacle to the world. Everybody is looking at us to find out what we are going to do and what we are going to say. We then need to remember that in manner and speech, that we are not coarse or unrefined. Then if we are, those who are less experienced or have less knowledge will follow in our steps. We need to be refined and full of grace because we want to be in a position to positively influence those people, those younger people, those people who do not have as much experience as we need to be in a position to positively influence them. So today, I want to introduce to some of you and present to others of you a very special lady from the Bible. And although there is no biblical reference of her being a mother at the point of our discussion, she could very well have been one because she possessed all of the prerequisites for motherhood. She was refined, she was full of grace, and she could have been somebody's mother. In 1 Samuel 25, verses 2 through 42, we find a story that might be called The Lady and the Oaf. The lady is beautiful and smart. The oaf is a rich but hopeless fella, Nabal, whose name means fool. He was well named. Now, you can read the whole story this afternoon at your leisure, but to expedite things and to refresh your memory, I'm going to give you a synopsis or just to summarize the story. David, the king, he was not yet king, but he had been anointed to be the king, was on the run from crazy Saul. You know the story of how Saul was chasing after David because he had been anointed to be the future king. And David had had a run-in with mean-spirited Nabal, a shepherd. David's men had provided protection for Nabal's shepherds, but when David sent for a little remuneration or a little return, Nabal had gotten very upset and wanted to know, who is this son of Jesse? Who is this David? And I'm not going to send anything to him. And he was very, very angry. And he threatened to do harm to David. Now, when David heard this, he was in a towering rage, and he gathered his men to finish Nabal off. He got his little army together. He had, by this time, 600 men who were following after him, and he was going to go and take revenge or avenge himself on Nabal because he felt that Nabal was the fool that he was. And here's where we meet this refined lady, full of grace, who could have been somebody's mother. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel 25, and we're going to be reading through 14 through 17. I said 1 Samuel 25, 14 through 17. And I read, "But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt. Neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the field. They were a wall unto us by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him.'" The servant comes to Abigail and informs Abigail of what had happened. Now, we are going to find out that this Abigail was more than refined and full of grace. We are going to find that she was the epitome of womanhood, especially saintly womanhood. You probably remember from your literature classes that there are three elements involved in character analysis. That is, if you really want to find out what kind of person a character in a story is, there are three criteria that you have to examine. First of all, in the story, you have to look at what the character says, you have to look at what the character does, and you have to look at what others say about that particular character. So that's what we're going to do about Abigail. We're going to look at what she says, we're going to look at what she does, and we're going to look at what others say about her to determine the kind of person that she is, and to really see if she is that refined woman, full of grace, fit to be somebody's mother. We've already been given a little hint as to Abigail's personality from these few verses that we just read. It is significant that the young man would come to Abigail when a crisis presents itself and say to her, "What are you going to do?" That's my translation. Why would he come to her? It is probably because she had had to intervene in prior situations. Rudyard Kipling says, "The silliest woman can manage a clever man, but it takes a clever woman to manage a fool." And we already know that Nabal is a fool. Evidently, there had been prior instances when he had gotten himself into foolish situations and Abigail had had to bail him out. Otherwise, the young man would not have come to her and told her what was going on. Abigail's wisdom and ableness to handle difficult situations are exemplified through this exchange, certainly a characteristic that would suit a refined woman full of grace who is fit to be somebody's mother. She is able to handle a difficult situation, and she's able to handle her fool of a husband. Let's move on in our search to determine Abigail's character, to find out what she was or who she was, and what we need to be if we are that refined woman full of grace. Verses 18 and 19 of 1 Samuel 25. "Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn." Even then they had popcorn. "And 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on the asses. And she said unto her servants, 'Go on before me, behold, I come after you.' But she told not her husband Nabal." Now, I want you to help me. Based on what we just read in these two verses, what do you see her doing and what do you see her saying that tells you the kind of person that Abigail is? Who is Abigail? What kind of characteristics or personality traits do you see in Abigail right here? And I do want your responses. I didn't hear you. Unselfish. Can you tell me, Randy, why she's unselfish here? She is putting others ahead of herself. So yes, she is unselfish, and that's a good characteristic for any refined woman full of grace to have. Somebody else see another one? Yes, Leslie.
She's very generous.
She's generous. And the generosity shows in that she is going to actually take these supplies from her household and take them to David and to his men. So she is unselfish. She is generous. Yes. Juanita?
She's a peacemaker.
Yeah, y'all are stealing all of my stuff. She is a peacemaker because she knows that this is what David was requesting in the beginning. This is all that he wanted in the beginning, was to have some munitions, to have some food sent to him. So she is going to show that she is a peacemaker. She's going to heal the bridge between David and Nabal. I see Grant's hand, and then I see Sandy's hand. She exhibits loyalty because her husband has gotten himself into some deep trouble because he doesn't know who he's fooling with when he's fooling with David. So she is loyal to her husband. Yes, Sandy.
Grant almost stole my thunder.
Okay. And as you go along, you're going to hear these very words that I have included in the rest of this, because all of you are saying exactly what I saw. You are seeing the kind of person that she is. In addition to those that you mentioned, she is a take charge person. She is a hospitable person. She is forward thinking. She is aware of her husband's foolish demeanor. Certainly, all of these are characteristics of an admirable personality and one that would be fit to be a capable mother. We've only just begun to uncover the depth of Abigail's character. In verses 20 through 22, and I'm not going to read those now, but we see assurance that David means business against Nabal and all that belongs to him. Yet despite the imminent threat, Abigail presses on, and that again shows that she is a forward-looking person, and she is one who is willing to put herself in jeopardy because she does not know what David might do to her, a woman, when she goes and presents herself to him. But notice she has the forethought to put her servants in front of her before she does go. But we read, and we are going to read verses 23 through 25. I said we weren't, but we will. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let me not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him," excuse me. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send." Abigail is a diplomat, and some of you said that she was diplomatic. She uses kind words to soothe David's irritated feelings. She is dedicated to her household, even her selfish and dim-witted husband. We see her full of the wisdom and love of God, without ostentation or pride, respectful and self-deprecating. Certainly characteristics befitting a refined woman, full of grace, who could be somebody's mother. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God, as recorded in Matthew 5:9. In verses 26 through 31, Abigail continues to present her position and that of her husband to David, making a case to David to show him that he would be putting his future as king in jeopardy. She implied that David should not be fighting personal battles, but he should be fighting or engaging himself in the Lord's battles, because that was the reason that he was called. That is the reason that he has been anointed, to be the Lord's man and not to take on his personal revenges. She ends up by asking David to remember her when he has received that which God had in store for him. Marie Dudefan says that women are never stronger than when they arm themselves with weakness. And Paul echoes this when he says that when we are weakest, then we are strongest in Christ. Certainly, Abigail came in weakness of body. She came with no army. She did not have a bodyguard, but she was armed with something more potent and more powerful than physical armament. Ellen White says in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 667, that the words which Abigail spoke could come only from the lips of one who had partaken of the wisdom from above. She says that the piety of Abigail, like the fragrance of a flower, breathed out unconsciously the face and word and action. The Spirit of the Son of God was abiding in her soul, as Ellen White says. Her speech, seasoned with grace and full of kindness and peace, shed a heavenly influence. She was acting the peacemaker. Would that there were more like this woman of Israel, who would soothe the irritated feelings, who would prevent rash impulses, and who would quell great evils by words of calm and well-directed wisdom. Abigail was a woman full of grace. She was a refined woman. She had been with God. We can see that in previous times she had had to present herself to God and ask him for grace, ask him for wisdom, ask him for leading. And it is all coming out now as we see her in this presentation before David, as she kneels herself before him, as she humbles herself before him. And you know, this is what we need to do as women, refined women, full of grace. When there is a difficult situation that presents itself to us, we need to make sure that we call into play all of that reserve energy and wisdom that God has given to us before, and that we do not present ourselves in full battle armor, but we come with the armor of God. We come in the Spirit of Jesus and present our case as it may be. Now, this basically brings us to the end of our character analysis of Abigail. But it is not the end of the story, as you will find from your reading this afternoon, that Abigail returns home. She finds Nabal with his friends feasting and drinking, and they are really having a ball, and he gets really drunk. Now, she does not present this information to him of what she has done at that time. She waits until the next morning. And when she comes the next morning to tell him what had happened, you know what happens to him. He has a stroke because he realizes what could have happened if David's men had come and had accosted him. He and all of his household would have been totally wiped out. And as a result of the stroke that he had, he died some 10 days later. See, David did not have to do the work. David did not have to go take revenge. God is our avenger. So there is a lesson there for us that when we are put upon, when things happen to us that we can't explain, and when we want to do things on our own, just leave it to God, because he will handle the situation. And of course, we know the end of the story here, that David ends up marrying Abigail in the long run. Jesus wants us to be like him. He wants us to be refined, full of grace. And this is not just for women and mothers, this is for everybody. He outlined several character traits that his followers should have, that he exemplifies in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. And it is amazing how many of those characteristics that Abigail possesses. As we go through the list, beginning with Matthew 1, let's just see the ones that we've already named that Abigail possesses. She was poor in spirit. As we look at Matthew 5:1, we find that Abigail depended on God for her strength. She was self-deprecating. She was poor in spirit. As we look down the line at the rest of these Beatitudes, she thirsted after righteousness. She wanted the right thing done, both by her husband and by David. And she was the one who was going to do the right thing. She always did the right thing, as we see from reading this story of Abigail. She was merciful. We can see this. She covered for her foolish husband. She was pure in heart. She wanted only the right things to be done. All of her motives were above board and sprang from a nearness to God. She was a peacemaker. She interceded between her husband and David, keeping David from doing something rash, for God was the eventual avenger. She was persecuted for righteousness' sake, for having had to live and put up with her foolish husband for all of the time. A good mother should be as refined and as full of grace as was Abigail. Not just a good mother, but a Christian woman should be as refined and full of grace as was Abigail. And not just a good Christian woman, but a good Christian man should be as refined and full of grace as was Abigail. We should always be children of God and possess many of the same traits as Abigail. In other words, we should be like Jesus, because Abigail was like Jesus. The lady was old and ragged and gray and bent with the chills of a winter's day. The streets were covered with a recent snow, and the lady's feet were aged and slow. At the crowded crossing, she waited long, jolted aside by the careless throng of human beings who passed her by, unheeding the glance of an ancient eye. Down the street came laughter and shout. Glad of the freedom of school let out, came happy boys like a flock of sheep, hailing the snow piled high and deep, but none offering a helping hand to her, so weak and timid, afraid to stir. Like the hoof of the horse's feet would trample her down on the slippery street. at last came out of that merry troop, the happiest boy of all the group. He paused beside her and whispered low, "I'll help you across if you wish to go." Her weak hands on his strong brown arm she placed so without help or harm. He guided the trembling feet along, proud that his own were young and strong. Then back again to his friends he went, his whole heart well and glad content. She's somebody's mother, boys, you know, of all she is, aged and slow. And somebody sometime may lend a hand to help my mother, you understand, if ever she's old and ragged and gray and her own dear boy is far away. And somebody's mother bowed low her head in her home that night, and the prayer she said was, "God, be kind to that noble boy who's somebody's son with pride and joy." Angels caught the faltering words, and somebody's mother's prayer was heard. Again, we don't know if Abigail had a son or any children for that matter, but we do know that with the qualities that she possessed, she was a woman of Israel, a refined woman, full of grace, and fit to be somebody's mother. Let us strive to be so endowed and to be a woman refined, full of grace, and fit to be somebody's mother. And a happy Mother's Day to all of you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for mothers, and we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for sending him, and we thank you that he is the embodiment of refinement. And we thank you that as we humble ourselves before you, and as we learn of him, and as we take him into ourselves, and as we let his character be reflected through us, that we can be refined, that we can be full of grace, and that we can be somebody's mother. And to you be the praise and the glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.